I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council. It is Monday, December 3rd, 2018. Would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence in memory of President George Herbert Walker Bush. He was our 41st president. Thank you. Please remain standing for our flag salute. Tonight, we actually are very fortunate to have one of our youngsters from a local school here to lead us in our flag salute. This is Roberto Reynoso Sandoval. He is a 12-year-old student. He's sixth grade from Grover Beach Elementary. He enjoys math, reading, and playing soccer. His focus is to do well in school and attend college so that he can reach his goal of someday becoming an airplane pilot and have the opportunity to fly anywhere in the world. While in school, he'd like to learn a third language. Wow, that's fantastic. He is also eager to drive and also work. His hobbies are playing soccer, playing the trumpet, and like other students, he enjoys electronics. Roberto enjoys his life in Grover Beach. He appreciates the clean ocean breeze and the fact that there was no violence here in this small community. He commends the great job that elected officials and law enforcement have done to create a good environment for its citizens. He is definitely on his way to politics. Fantastic. Roger, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So why don't you come on up here? I have a certificate of appreciation. You want to shake everyone's hand? Thank you. Fantastic.
Good job, Isaac.
Now come back here and let me give you this.
Okay.
You can.
Okay.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
What did I tell you? Dad, nice job. Nice work. This is for you. And this young lady's going to take our photo. So why don't you stand in right here in the middle, and we're all going to stand behind you. Hold on, Dad's going to take a photo. What's your dad's name? Roberto, too. Oh, thank you. This is for you.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work, Roberto. Excuse me for the sniffles. I'm actually just getting over the flu. So, with that, let's do roll call, please.
Councilmember Nichols.
Here.
Councilmember Peterson.
Here.
Councilmember Shaw.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Here.
And Mayor Scholes.
Present. Thank you, Wendy. We do, looks like, some closed session announcements. So, City Attorney, can you cover those items, please?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Mayor. pursuant to the closed session that was held by Council on November 19, 2018, there were four matters that were on the agenda. One was conference with legal negotiators pursuant to 54957.6, no reportable action related to that item. As to number two, there was conference with legal counsel in regards to anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4. Council did give direction to my office to proceed with initiating litigation. We have item number three, which was public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 and conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6 related to the city attorney, and it must have gone well since I'm still here. No reportable action to any of that.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. All right. At this point, we're going to review the agenda as presented by staff and see if we want to change the order of the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? Yeah. Someone prepared to make a motion?
I'll move that we proceed with the agenda as printed. I'll second that.
Very good. There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on that motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we will proceed with the agenda as presented by staff. I believe there are extra copies on the table at the back of the room. Why don't we move into public communications? This is an opportunity for any member of the community to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any items of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. Council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, council cannot act on any items that are not on the agenda. I do have one speaker request form, and that's Mr. John A. Weissong.
John A. Weissong, Grover Beach. I finally found out how old I'm getting as I went across the United States, 3,000 miles both ways, 7,000 total, and there 4 months, and I crash landed in the ER. So I lost my glasses. Got these things. But there's such a thing as business. And I consider this public communications business. Because I don't have the time that you people have to play this game. And there's some words that mean a lot to me. All my life. Overseas in that foreign country, Korea. Is water, food, air, and fire. Those four things are very important. Today and for the youth tomorrow and on. If they don't have it, they're out of luck. So as I thought about this and I saw where you and Jeff are on Zone 3 water. And, you know, I don't have the latest technology. I'm still back 50, 60 years ago. And I see Barbara Nichols, she's in charge of over here at the wastewater. So, I go across country. I hear that says, no food, no water, no water, no food. When you got fires, you need water. Twitchell got no water. 11 feet, they said, in not so many, that feeds Pasadena, San Luis. And then they said, oh, we're going to put a pipeline down from Northern California. Well, those farmers out there in the valley are going to tell you you can't afford it because you can't afford to buy the water. And yet, you two and three, are you hard hearing? I am. But I watched that on TV. You said nothing, he said nothing, and she says nothing about what I said about water, fires, and food, and all that. That can be turned around, and they can write letters. If you can't write them, remember you asked me who sent the letters to? It's your politicians up there in Sacramento. Now, as I went across this time, I stopped lots. And I talked to the people in the Mississippi. But Wichita is the best. And it's just like my grandson said. The people are smart and intelligent, but they got a hell of a lot of common sense and practical experience. It seems like that's what you're lacking here. You have no experience, no common sense. You don't realize that's important to turn that water around. If Diablo closes down, they got a desalting plant. That could help if we run out of water. But I don't understand why these two men can't write letters and get that taken care of. Because I'm thinking about the kids of tomorrow. I don't care about you people.
Thank you, Mr. Weissong.
Tomorrow I care about.
Is there anyone else? See anyone come forward? Let me close public communications. Bring it back to the council. So we're going to move on to our consent agenda. This is where we take routine items as a group. Looks like we Well, we have quite a few on consent tonight. Looks like there's about 8 items. I'm not going to read each one of them. Do any members of the council want to pull an item from consent or any questions on any item on consent? None?
Just have right. an update on number 3 based upon the closed session announcements that the city attorney mentioned.
You had a comment on that?
Okay. It's more of an update slash correction in the fact that the minutes did not reflect the closed session announcements that were related tonight, so we just need to have those modified to reflect those.
Okay. And then I'm going to suggest that we pull items 6 and 7, and just for a brief report, I think the community would want to, I mean, they obviously want to hear about what's on the agenda, but I think these are two items that are of particular interest to the community. So I'm not going to put them at the end of the agenda. I will exercise mayor's prerogative and put them right before the public hearing. So let's do this then. So you've got a comment or a correction on 3. How about let's see if someone wants to make a motion on items 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on that motion?
What is the motion?
To approve the consent to calendar.
Okay,
very good. Let's do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Yes.
And Mayor Schultz.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. All right, let's do item 3. And Mayor Pro Tem, you have the floor.
Yeah, just I'd just like it to be revised to reflect the closed session announcement. There was an item at the end of the minutes that just said no reportable action. So, and as our city attorney mentioned this evening, we did have a reportable action. So I just wanted to update the minutes to reflect that. So,
let me just make sure I see the attorney. Are you good?
Yes, Mr. Mayor and Council. In regards to your direction to my office for initiating litigation on a code enforcement matter, that is a reportable action.
Okay, very good. So, do you want to make a motion on this item?
As I say, unless there's other discussion, I'll make a motion that we approve item number 3 with the amendment to reflect the announcement of closed session item.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. I believe we can do this on a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, so then we are going to move to item number 6. This is an award of construction contract CIP 3393 Ramona Square parking lot, which is a south lot, and CIP 3000, the community center parking lot maintenance. And I believe Public Works Director and City Engineer Ray, are you going to give this just a real quick staff report on this item?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mayor. I am prepared for a brief staff report. So, Honorable Mayor and City Council, again, award of construction contract for one project, CIP 3393, which is a Ramona Square parking lot, what we're calling the city-owned portion of the lot, and CIP 3000, which is the community center parking lot. Tonight, we're asking Council to adopt a resolution awarding a contract for construction. The two projects were combined into a single project. We have a low bidder, which is RDZ Contractors, in the amount of $78,870. We're recommending the city manager be authorized to sign and approve change orders up to $15,775. As Council may recall, there was a lot of discussion in the previous fiscal year about the Ramona Square parking lot. The city owns roughly 23% of the lot. This project will provide maintenance on the city-owned portion, which is immediately behind the post office, and includes a number of parking spaces behind the post office. This will also provide much-needed maintenance to the Trouville Center parking lot. There's not a whole lot more to report. Really, I think so. Keeping it brief, basically we're recommending award to the low bidder, and this project will be funded with gas tax funds and recreation facility development impact fee funds. in general. So I think that covers it. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Very good. Let me see if there's any questions from council. Any questions to my left? To my right? Jeff?
Just a more of a quick question slash comment, but did I read correctly that we did get a favorable and under engineers proposal or bid from the contractors for this, so we are in a good bidding climate for this particular project?
Yes, it would appear so. The bid was very favorable, so we're really happy to be able to award this.
So two things, just to further clarify. This is the portion of the parking lot that goes from basically where the post office is, and it goes over to where, I guess, the trees, there's landscape area over there. And it also includes the aisle that drives by the drop-off mailbox back there.
That is correct.
Okay, very good. And then could you just talk about the timing of when we would expect the bids and to begin work?
So it's typically about a month and a half before a contractor begins work after award of construction. There's a time period to get the contract bonds in, to actually do all the paperwork and sign the contracts. And then the contractor has a bit of time to mobilize. So I would anticipate a month and a half before you see actual work in the field.
Okay, very good. Let me open this up and see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item before the council. Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close and bring it back to the council. And I just want to say thanks to staff for bringing this forward. We know that this has been a lot of the discussions about this, the maintenance of this lot. And even though the city only owns, as Mr. Ray said, 23% of this lot, this is in the downtown core. I think this is the first step in providing maintenance and a service to this community. So I'm thrilled that it's back. And with that, does someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt the resolution awarding the contract for construction of CIP 3393 Ramona Square parking lot, the south lot, and CIP 3000 Community Center parking lot maintenance to RDZ contractors in the amount of $78,870.75. Authorize the city manager to sign and affirm construction change orders up to an aggregate of $15,775, and authorize the mayor to execute the contract on behalf of the city.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion on that motion, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Schultz.
Yes, motion carries 5-0. All right, we're going to move to item number 7. This is Farrell Road and South 16th Street, all-way stop control. Public Works Director, City Engineer Ray, you have the floor.
Again, thank you, Honorable Mayor. Quickly, the staff is recommending the council adopt a resolution authorizing installation of all-way stop control at the intersection of Farrell Road and South 16th Street. That would include installation of a new high-visibility crosswalk, and there will be additional safety enhancements, which are primarily pavement markings and advanced signage. If council recalls, in mid-October, staff brought an item to the city council about general traffic and safety concerns. That item eventually focused on the intersection of South 16th and Farrell Road, the primary concern being pedestrians crossing to the park, and how could we safely install a crosswalk in that location. Your staff hired a consultant, GHD Consultants, to prepare an analysis of that potential stop installation and crosswalk installation. That analysis was based on the California Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, MUTCD, and that document provides a number of thresholds that can be considered when considering the installation of all-way stop control and crosswalks. In particular, accident history, traffic volumes, left turn conflicts with vehicles, and sight distance issues were considered in that evaluation. And it was, in fact, determined that a all-way stop control was warranted and that actually would provide some safety enhancements and reduce some of the sight distance and left turn conflicts, as well as providing additional safety for what will now be a highly visible crosswalk across Farrell Road at South 16th. So basically, staff is recommending the all-way stop control, the crosswalk, and there's three additional recommendations that are included in the resolution. That included moving the stop bar on southbound South 16th closer to the intersection to, again, enhance visibility there, sight distance. Installing the stop ahead signs at east and west approaches of Farrell. And installing the pedestrian arrow signs at the crosswalk with a highly visible crosswalk. It includes the ladder striping through it, so it's reflective at night, and hopefully pedestrians will show up better. There was an additional potential recommendation, which was a pedestrian ahead signs, advanced signage, but in staff's opinion, with the already stop ahead advanced signage and pedestrian signage right at the crosswalk, staff felt that that was adequate and would additional signage would just add to sign clutter in that case. We have a cost, estimated cost between $8,000 and $15,000 to install all of the signs, the crosswalk, remove some striping that's already there, and make this all complete in accordance with the GHD study. There's a couple alternatives. Well, really, basically, the alternatives to consider are authorizing the resolution to install the all-way stop or providing alternate direction to staff. And, of course, we're recommending the all-way stop control. So back to you.
Very good. Thank you for the staff report. Let's see if there's any questions. Any all right?
Comment, no question.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Very good. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone that would like to address the item. Please come forward.
Hello. My name is Anthony Wayne Embry, and I live here in Grover Beach. It seems that I've read something about a new crosswalk now where they paint the white and then they paint a black around it, which makes it look elevated. It's a psychological thing for people when they're driving up and causes them to slow down at intersections. And I'm wondering if that's what Mr. Ray is referring to when he says advanced crosswalks.
Okay. Why don't you finish your comments, Wayne?
Other than that, that was just my concern. Seemed like something that I've read somewhere, and I was just curious about it because it's supposed to really be effective in slowing traffic at sections like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing them, we'll come forward and close this to the public. And, Mr. Ray, can you answer Mr. Embry's question, please?
I can. These are not the crosswalk striping that he has indicated. The crosswalks that we're looking at would be exactly the same as the white-colored crosswalks on South 13th Street. We did paint some yellow ones there. Striping is identical other than the color, but the yellow ones indicate a school crossing. So you see these on South 13th Street. They have the diagonal ladder bars running across the crosswalk. It adds a lot of visibility and reflective paint at night. So,
Okay. With that, Barbara, you had a comment?
Yeah. I think that since most of the accidents that have been reported are from residents making a left turn onto Farrell, and not making very good judgment on distance and this sort of thing. So I was wondering if it would be a good idea to do these fixes and notify the residents that they were necessary because of some thoughtlessness on some of the residents and to be more careful without all that detail.
Okay. Jeff, you have anything?
No, I'll make the motion. I move that we adopt the resolution authorizing installation of the all-way stop control at the intersection of Farrell Road and South 16th Street and the installation of a new high-visibility crosswalk with additional safety enhancements.
I'll second.
Okay. We'll deal with her comment after that. So, motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, with that, roll call, please.
Councilmember Peterson.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Yes.
And Mayor Schultz.
Yes, motion carries 5-0. So I'm just curious. I think Councilmember Nichols brought up the point of making a notification. I don't know if we want to use the exact language she expressed here. So maybe staff, if we can look at a way just to let the community know, other than when they see the sign go up, I think this does show that the council has listened and determined a need and followed through. So we just want people to know that it's coming, so no one's surprised. So, anyway.
Yes, we can send out a news release and also utilize our social media channels and also some other means as well to get the word out once it's installed.
Is everyone okay with that direction?
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, before we leave that that item, just wanted to kind of notice Mr. Embry's comments and actually ask our city engineer just a quick confirming question that if in the future we decided to do the black bordering, there's nothing that would preclude us from being able to do that in the future if we decided to have that as a future option, correct?
That is correct, although I have not seen the specific installation he's referring to. I mean, if it's simply a black border around the striped crosswalk, in my opinion, that could be done after the fact.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to our public hearings tonight. This is item number 9, I believe, and this is the second reading and adoption of the transient occupancy tax ordinance. City Manager Bronson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As the mayor articulated, this is indeed the second reading and adoption of the TOT ordinance that was approved by voters on November 6th. So at that time, 77% of registered voters who voted in the election voted to approve this TOT increase from 10% to 12%. As a side note, there were 40 TOT rate increases on the ballot statewide this past November. Our rate of passage was one of the highest in the state. Wow. So there was a very strong level of support for this TOT increase here in Grover Beach. The ordinance must be adopted in order to formalize passage of the measure. So voters authorized it, and now council has to formalize and adopt the ordinance. The council is, of course, requested to conduct this public hearing and to do the second reading and adoption. As the council is aware, you can decrease the TOT rate from the voter threshold. The council cannot further increase the rate without additional voter approval. At this time, we estimate the annual revenue increase from this measure is roughly $72,000. So with that, our recommendation is to conduct the hearing and to conduct the second reading and adoption of this ordinance to go into effect on January 2nd, 2019.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Any questions of staff? No? Is there any member of the community that would like to address this item that is before the council? Seeing no one come forward, I'm closing to bring it back to the council. Someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I move that we conduct the second reading by title only and adopt Ordinance 1806, amending Section 10602 of Chapter 5, Article 10 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code relating to increasing the transient occupancy tax.
Okay. I'll second with just a quick question. I think it's Chapter 6, not 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
If I read that correctly?
Yes.
Well, so just make sure the agenda says Title 6, but it is Title 5.
Chapter 6 of Article 10, actually.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I said.
Right. So I thought I heard Chapter 5 of Article 10.
So the motion was correct. Are you still in support of your second?
I'm just curious whether it is Chapter 5 or Chapter 6.
Chapter 6. I believe it's Chapter 6.
Chapter
Article
6,
10 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, very good. So it is Chapter 6 of Article 10. There is a motion, and the second is okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Scholes.
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. All right. Let's move to item number 10. This is the second reading and adoption of the business tax certificate ordinance. City Manager Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Next public hearing is regarding the BTC business tax certificate measure M18. This was approved by voters on November 6th by 60% of the electorate. This does restructure the business tax certificate rate from the flat $55 per business amount to a variable rate that is based on square footage of the business. Similar to the TOT ordinance, the council must adopt the BTC ordinance to formalize passage of the measure. Conducting the public hearing, you can change or lower the rates beyond what was approved by voters, but cannot increase further. and the estimated revenue increase from this measure is roughly $90,000. On screen is a chart that just shows the different rates that go from $60 for businesses that are from 1 to 1,000 square feet up to $950 for businesses at 60,001 and up in terms of square footage. Businesses that are out of town but doing business in the city would be assessed a flat $60. Home-based businesses will also be assessed $60, and the ordinance does exempt commercial cannabis businesses located in the city that are paying a separate regulatory permit fee as well as the commercial cannabis tax. This does authorize BTC payment for mobile delivery services from outside the city that are coming into the city to conduct business. That would be assessed the flat $60 amount as well. So with that, our recommendation is to conduct the public hearing and the second reading and adoption of the ordinance to restructure the BTCs, and this also would go into effect January 2nd, 2019.
Thank you for that staff report. Let's see if there's any questions. Any to my left?
No? I just had,
Mary?
I had one. I talked to the city manager about this, but if it's possible to change in section 10205, it says payment of business square footage tax or gross receipts tax. I think we were going to...
That's correct. That's sort of a holdover that came from when this was revised many, many times.
Yeah.
And it just didn't get dropped out. So that's correct.
Okay.
In regards to just the heading, we would drop the or gross receipts tax out of that heading.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions to my right?
No questions, but a minor wordsmith change to the ordinance.
Okay. So hold on.
Yep.
So if you make the motion and wordsmith then, all right, let me see if there's any members of the community that would like to address this item. Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'll bring it back to the council. Someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we conduct the public hearing, which we just did, and adopt in the second reading and adopt ordinance number 18-07, repealing and adopting a new Chapter 2, Article 10 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code relating to business tax certificates with language change in Section 10205. Removing the reference to gross sales tax, and then in the cover of the ordinance under 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, under the sixth, whereas, adding the language to so it reads in full, whereas for any business located outside of the city and doing business within the city, a business license tax at an annual flat tax rate of $60 will be levied. So the added change is the and doing business within the city. So that it just kind of clarifies when that business tax, license tax is applicable.
Okay.
We're happy to add that language. Technically speaking, the city has no jurisdiction to levy a business tax for anybody not doing business within the city. But to the extent they're located outside of the jurisdiction coming into the city, we would proportionally allocate a tax, or in this particular case, to a flat tax at $60. So we can add that language.
Okay, so council is okay with that language. So there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion?
I do have one point of discussion. As we were going through this, there was a lot of discussion on how it should be calculated, and we really heard from our local business owners that this is how they wanted to do it. I'm still not 100% convinced this is going to be very easy to calculate or very easy to figure out. And I know that actually a lot of jurisdictions, even locally, do not do it this way. But I think we were right in supporting what the business community, how they said they want to do it. But I do think it may favor maybe the newer, smaller kind of tech businesses versus your very classic business like a store or a bookstore. So I just want to go on record that I hope that, you know, this does work the way that business owners want it to work. And that is why I'm going with it, because that's what they said.
Okay. Anyone else? So with that, there's a motion. There's a second. Roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
And Mayor Schultz?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. And I do want to say that with not just the business tax certificate, but also the transient occupancy tax, the voters. We just want to thank them for understanding the issue and voting in the affirmative as we move forward with trying to provide top quality service, generating revenues that would be used for core city services. With that, let's move on to item number 11, I believe. And this is about, okay, it took me a while to, when I read this the first time, to quite really, honestly, this is the advancement of public art in Grover Beach. So, Ms. Becker, I'm sure Poe, you can shed some light for us.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. I'd like to preface this report with saying that I really enjoyed doing the research for this item and city's public art. And all across the websites that I came across, the keywords that kept coming up about public art in communities was igniting imagination, enriching your community. It's the essence of your community and the spirit. It is the vitality. It encourages thoughtfulness. It brings people together. And it's an economic development driver. So those are the key items that was exciting to read about. So I'll get straight into the report here. The council did identify public art during the budget hearing process and identified it as a council goal. Additionally, the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission also identified public art as a commission priority to forward to the City Council. And at the joint meeting, as you all may recall, at July 19th, the council also recommended the commission review public art as an approach in our city. And in addition, the staff held a meeting with the local artist, and she contacted us, and she's been around the country doing public art. And myself and Chair French met with her, and we were essentially educated about public art around the country, and that has also been a person who's been a key member in initiating public art in our community. Currently, our city does not have a public art or private art policy. The art that we do have in our city is the ceramic tiles that are in the parks at Grover Heights and Hero Park. Those were completed by school children when the park was developed at Hero Park. It was the turnkey. And then also the Grover Beach or Grover Heights elementary kids provided the tiles for Grover Heights Park when it was remodeled several years ago. And other than that, there's few examples of public art within our city. Part of the research included our local jurisdictions. I was able to review the city of Rio Grande. And this picture here is an example of their latest public art. It's a mural project that they have in the breezeway adjacent to their city council chambers. It's their preschool children who participated. That's an example of their latest. The City of Morro Bay, they also have a phenomenal public art and private art program. As you may recall, if you've been to Morro Bay, have lots of sculptures around. And then also the City of San Luis Obispo has a very comprehensive public art program. With the City of Grover Beach, we could also establish one here with the City Council's direction. So at the commission meeting in October, the commission had a very vital discussion about public art in the community, and the highlights that came back was that they recommended public art on utility boxes, that would make the first most impressionable experience for people in West Grand Avenue. The city has 10 utility boxes on the West Grand Avenue from Oak Park to Highway 1. And they also recommended an opportunity for art in both public and private properties, and also additionally private art as well. And lastly, they recommended that an ad hoc public art committee provide feedback, and people from the ad hoc committee could include city officials and business leaders and community leaders, and of course local representatives and local artists. And this committee could be directed to research other entities and provide recommendations to related to the city regarding our ideals, and provide recommendations on motifs and spheres of influence and locations within the city that public art could be appropriate. And lastly, it was to recommend an adoption by the council of a formal public art policy for our city as an initial task. And furthermore, the South County Chambers of Commerce also held a public art initial meeting, and we were able to be invited to attend that. There was also, again, a like-minded artists and enthusiasts in the meeting. And again, they talked about specific motifs. Example was whales and butterflies and trains, things that are within our city. And then also funding options were discussed, including public funding and private contributions, as well as donations, and staff also considered grant opportunities. So recommendation is that staff is seeking council's policy direction in advancing public art in Grover Beach, including priorities to focus on. And following your direction, we will work on an implementation plan, including resources needed to bring this to you in 2019. And the last picture here is the public art sculpture in Morro Bay at the Morro Bay Rock. And this last picture here, actually, this last picture is an example of public art on private property. And you might recognize that business next door. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you for that report. Let's see if there's any questions. Let me start with Councilmember Nichols.
My first question would be, insofar as private public art is concerned, would that be by permit from the city, or whoever wanted to could paint whatever they wanted to on the side of their building?
Yeah, absolutely. But that would, public or private art would all go through the policy process, and nothing would be approved without the city council's final approval.
Okay. What size committee are you thinking of having?
I don't think we should limit it, but at a minimum, a city employee, perhaps a council member, a commission member, artist. So we can be creative. And obviously, more information and more feedback we can get, and you can make better choices and decisions, yeah.
Okay. My observation of large boards or committees are that everybody's talking over each other and against each other, and little gets done. So I'm thinking, you know, 5 to 7 would be a good number.
And just to add to that, I think our vision, our recommendation was that this would be a working committee. So a 5 to 7-ish member group would be small enough to be action-oriented while still being inclusive of all the different interests. And this is really a community-based group to a large degree. We want to make this a community initiative and not a city-run initiative to help leverage the talents within the community.
I agree with that. I have nothing else to ask.
Okay. Mary?
Yeah, I have a question about how to get started the art policy. As I was looking at back at the report, I had meant to click on all those links today, and I didn't, I forgot. So I guess I'm just wondering about other cities' policy. Like, would this be as easy as us kind of just looking at other cities and then being able to establish a policy? Like, how long do you think it would take to get something together?
I think that there's quite a bit of work to do. We would need to collate policy drafts. And essentially, what we need to have ready for you all are questions of, you know, we have to have funding. You know, where funding is going to be a big item, and how we're going to come across with funding policies. Also, we will need to know what types of art are we accepting. So there's a whole slew of policies and procedures that come along with public art processes and with city council. So I believe it's going to take a couple months. That's why we recommended bringing it back to you to, early next year.
Oh, okay. A couple of months. I mean, I thought you were about to say a couple of years. So, okay. Yeah, because, you know, I do think there's the funding aspect, but then let's just say a private business was, you know, we're ready to just get this ugly wall. You know, we would then just really be offering them the parameters, right?
Like, correct.
Kind of guidelines. And then just kind of my question would be just, I imagine we kind of in some ways come up against the freedom of speech or the freedom of expression, especially when it's on a private business. But do the guidelines include stuff like, well, you can't swear, or is that kind of what the guidelines are like?
Only on our public property, I would think that that is obviously something we would have in our guidelines and our policies. But again, like you said, freedom of speech for private property.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's all my questions for now. Thanks.
Okay. Debbie?
Questions?
Yeah. No questions?
Hey, Councilmember Shaw's question kind of generated one of mine for me is, so the advancement of the guidelines or so forth would specifically not address private art, correct? This is just public art, whether it's on private property or on public property. So, I mean, if someone did want to further their own art on their own property, this has no impact on that decision, correct?
I'm going to defer that to the city manager attorney.
Yeah, let me maybe articulate. For the most part, the policy is really directed towards public art on public property. What you don't want to do is commit what is otherwise a non-public forum to a public forum.
Right.
So what you do is, whether one of the courts are primarily articulated as a limited public forum based upon the guidelines that you've articulated, principally as was articulated, you want to, it may take some time to establish these policies. There are many, many agencies out there who have these policies in place, which obviously could work as an initial template or a working document for you. But for the most part, you have to make a policy decision of what kind of art you want to see and what maybe even more specifically you don't want to see in that public forum. In the context of private art on private property, it becomes a little bit more interesting in terms of how that policy would reflect with that. But to the most extent, as I understand it, cities like San Diego, who have initiated permitting for the big murals that Wayland does with the whales and all that kind of stuff, it's really not so much a guideline of the type of art as it is a regulatory function similar to our sign ordinances type situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. But for the most part, you're really looking at not converting your public, non-public forums into a public forum is what you're trying to avoid.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Can I ask then a follow-up? So, for example, the mural that you guys were showing just now that is on Splash Cafe. So what kind of process would that business owner have had to do to put that mural there?
Historically, I haven't looked at our ordinance in that context. I don't know whether, and maybe our development director, community development director, can articulate. I don't know whether they were required to submit a permit for that or not. I know in many cities, I believe in San Diego, they would have to get a permit to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it has the same level of scrutiny and oversight from an art committee as you would have in the context of looking at art that's going onto public property.
So maybe it would just be something like bright colors or I don't know. Because I thought even if you repaint your house in the city, you have to like get the color approved. I thought that. I heard that. Someone told me that. Maybe no. They were wrong. But, okay, so.
Outside of a PUD that has CCNRs that are recorded against the property of which you're subject to, there are some of those that would require that through an architectural committee.
Right.
But as overall, in the context of this city, I'm not aware of any regulations like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Are those all the questions? Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone who would like to address this item before the council. Please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Krista Jeffries. I live at 1151 Ramona Avenue. And I'm one of the artists that Kathy has met with in this series of conversations regarding the advancement of public art in Grover Beach. I hear the concerns of the council as to what it would mean to allow private businesses and residences to be open to using their own space as a way to advance public art. I've heard several people be concerned about, well, does that mean everybody's going to be able to paint whatever they want on their walls? And immediately everybody envisions obscenities and naked bodies all over the place. And in my discussions with private residents in the city, everyone that I speak with is really enthusiastic about this idea. They love the concept of being able to use their own home as a way to express themselves, which is exciting for me as an artist. But I just want to stress the idea that though we are a really laid-back community, that this is not Santa Cruz. And there is a certain level of, you know, minimalism and a laid-back vibe that promotes creativity. And as Kathy has attested, it's good for economic development, for creative people to see that a city values creative thinking in the public space. But I want to reassure the council that nobody is jumping at the opportunity to paint horrible, obscene, or offensive things on their very expensive private homes. That's all.
Anyone else?
Please.
Come on up.
I really think, my name is Anthony Wayne Embry. I live here in Grover Beach. I really think that the public art is a great idea. But when you get to the homes, would you really want three or four of the houses next door to you painted with all kinds of crazy scenes on them? I don't think so. Public art is great, but you can overdo anything. And if you leave it open to that, I think that's eventually what will happen. I don't want it around my house. I'm sorry.
Good point.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Embry. Please come forward.
Hi, I'm Debbie Guerra. I lived in Grover Beach for over 36 years now. And all around me has been two stories now, and they brought in where I got brick all around me. So I'm getting tired of looking at brick all around me. So I have gone ahead and I've already painted, because that gives me something more to look at instead of, you know, looking at brick every time I go outside. So I really think that's a great idea. And for myself, I've already done that. And I didn't realize that it would be against the rules or anything. I just thought it was my backyard. You know, I'm looking at brick from 5 feet to 4 feet and got tired of it. And I think it looks really nice. And I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. And I think that would be a great idea, Kathy.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Let me close and bring it back to the council. I see the city manager leaning forward. Did you have something? No?
You know, maybe just
say
just,
no.
Just, I'd be glad to say no, but also I would just say, from our standpoint, we're bringing this forward to you as one of the council goals. We wanted to work with the commission per your direction and get their recommendations back to you. And ultimately, we seek the council's direction how to proceed in firmly establishing public art as a community goal going forward, and get your direction accordingly.
Okay, so let me just make a comment and everyone can react or add to. Where I'm at is yes to public art. I think we've done a really good job of fixing local streets, and I understand that hopefully by the end of next year or shortly thereafter we'll be close to 50% of the streets would be done. I know that for many years people were concerned, especially when we did the south end of West Grand, where we did the special sidewalks, and I think there were people who we had a lot of explaining to do to folks who said, how can they have money for this and not the streets? And I'm sure Debbie, you and Jeff probably remember that those conversations. But I think the time has come. Let me just say thanks for bringing this, the Advancement of Public Art. I guess I still was a little confused as to the title, because I do have some experience in dealing with public art and in a former life of mine. I used to work for the city of San Luis Obispo and other governmental agencies and entities. And so I don't think we're necessarily talking about infringing on people's rights to paint their homes. We certainly are not on Agora Hills or a place that says everything has to be earth tones, and I think people have the right to paint their home, and I don't think we've seen, at least I've lived in this community for 30 years, I haven't seen any obnoxiously painted homes. But I think we're really talking about the public realm. I think we're talking about commercial developments if there are opportunities. So I would say this is, I would say either you need to take a program from a city of SLO or city of Morro Bay and customize it, or you need to hire someone to come in and help lead these efforts. I think first we need to develop a mission statement of values. I think the second thing is that we actually do need to adopt a public art program which has policies and programs, and there's a manual. City of SLO, I was just looking online, has one that's 34 pages, and it covers issues of art on public property and within private development. So we needed to do that. You also need to adopt guidelines. So the thought is public property, I can think of seven right off the top of my head. Train station, all the parks. So that would be Ramona, Mentone, South 16th, Grover Heights. Utility boxes, I think, was mentioned. I just want to clarify, are those the control boxes on Grand? Because we don't want to be painting PG&E's transformer boxes, because that's a whole other issue. With respect to private developments, and now we're talking about murals, we're probably talking, can we do things on structures or even bridges? Then we got to talk about implementation. And we know that there's a First Amendment and a free speech issue that needs to be resolved. But implementation becomes, are there city funds that can contribute? Are there private contributions? How do we take them? There does need to be some review and oversight as to what gets installed in this community. I think we certainly don't want to, I think the council does not want to give up that authority. And I know in the city of SLO and others, they usually have a committee. I think there was a committee suggested here, but that committee needs to have some guidelines around it. So I just feel like this was a great introduction, but I think that we still have to build a framework, and we got to build a value system, and we have to build a criteria that gets us to the end. So I think it's a good start, but we need to be further. I think if it's a council goal, this is going to be a discussion that the council is going to be having a discussion in January, February around, because we haven't gotten very far. This is kind of scratching the surface. So anyway.
Yeah, I would echo the comments that we definitely need a framework. I'm really excited that this has finally, you know, made it to us, because I think we first, at least I first heard about this 4 years ago. So I'm excited we're at this point, and I like that you said 2 months. I was really scared you were going to say 2 years. So I want to see a framework or a proposed framework as soon as possible, because I think in my mind I'm looking at it as two prongs. One is public and could possibly be parks, and maybe the electric boxes are a good small start. But the private sector, you know, we have people who have been approaching Krista who are excited to get going on this as soon as possible, and they don't necessarily need our funding, and all they need is that framework. So I don't want to be the ones dragging our feet and holding them back from doing something really beautiful and cool. So that part, at least, I'd really like to see move quickly. So
I would like to add some reassurance to the lady who spoke last, that we're not talking about your painting within your backyard or anything like that.
That is not will not come under the purview of this at all.
Yeah. Someone said private property. I think I've seen a private development more commercial or industrial in nature.
That's probably true. In the context, and again, I'll use San Diego because I'm familiar with them, they have art policies, but the policies for private are very, very different, even in the commercial development world, than the policies are for public. You can establish the parameters of what you will allow on a public forum or in a non-public forum and create what's called a limited public forum. In the world of the private art world, you have First Amendment free speech rights, and the courts will lean, for the most part, and defer greatly to private artists and so forth in regards to their rights of free speech. So your regulations, although you can regulate, and even if the council chose to regulate on private residential property, you could do the same. But you do in the same context as what we talked about in terms of sign ordinances, where your regulations have to be uniform in nature. So those are the kinds of things that as you encroach into that area, if you choose as a policy matter to do that, may take some time for us to craft those to make them constitutionally sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
So I think Debbie
Jefferson?
No, I'm following with interest, and I'm agreeing with what I'm hearing. It's a different animal to be talking about sign ordinances and private property, and we're really just talking about public places and primarily commercial.
Yeah.
I would suggest a workshop for the council just to get some bearing on what is required for the format, the basis, to get this.
Well, I have a comment to that, but Jeff, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm thankful that this is coming forward and kind of agreeing with most of the comments that have been spoken. I think this is a way for our community to get involved with a representation of the city and to move forward on a number of public improvements or public advancements of visualization in the city. But I do agree that it's, and I wanted to make sure that my position is we should be talking about that public realm that you mentioned. I wouldn't be supportive of, not even remotely at this point, moving into the private realm of private citizens' rights to do what they can do on their own property. But making sure that the community has a say, without the expectation that it's going to be funded by the city. There may be some funding, but I don't think there's any commitment to public funds at this point for that. But I think that leads towards the guidelines that the mayor was talking about and the mission and the values and that. And so I think that lends itself towards that ad hoc committee, that discussion that needs to happen before it comes to the council for final ratification, yeah, or further discussion.
So I have an idea. I think Barbara talked about a workshop. Again, that's something the council majority is going to have to decide, because you all know me. I'm all about action. I'm not about taking a year to talk about this stuff. The two options are you take someone's guidelines, you customize them and make them fit Grover Beach, or you bring somebody on board who can help lead that effort and keep everyone focused. So the idea I have is maybe short term, since we already have there's a sculpture, I think you mentioned this at is that over on at Mentone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess we have public art. So what I would suggest in the short term, we've got a train station we're working on. We've had a resident come forward who had talked about benches and some other treatments. I can tell you, in the past I've held events where, you know, I've invited people to walk down Grand Avenue with me and suggest ideas. They suggested possibly a sculpture at the corner of Highway 1 and Grand, that's on train station, that's the public realm, is something that we can control. I would say the other part of this are the control boxes that are throughout this community. So if someone is excited and want to get something done, then maybe we offer those up and do some kind of competition. I think that's something that we control. It's in the public realm, and you can move forward now. But then in the long term is to develop comprehensive policies and criteria, because that's just an idea, as opposed to taking, I think you're really talking about 6 months, 4 to 6 months to really get everything put together before you really start moving down the road in implementation, because I know the city attorney will tell you, and evaluating what gets submitted for installation is going to, I think you're going to take quite a bit of time to go through that process. But I think maybe as a compromise solution is to discuss, are there things in the public realm that can be done sooner, and then long-term putting together a comprehensive package of guidelines, so that if someone does come forward with a development project and they say, hey, we want to put monarch butterflies on our building facade, is that a part of a building review, or, you know, because you can have public art integrated into a structure. So,
yeah, I would echo the comments of just using a different city's guidelines and kind of modifying. And I almost think the workshop maybe shouldn't start with us. I personally don't know a lot about art. I like art. But I even wonder if maybe it should start with the community, if anything. But, you know, with guidelines, and we just kind of, I would just like something to come to me that I can read and we can tweak a little bit. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just would like to walk away from this, because Chris and I have had some conversations. There are private business owners that are approaching her and really do just want to put something on their business. And I guess my question would be, like, how much longer do they have to wait to do that? Or what, you know, are they going to have to wait till we get 6 months and we get this full thing constructed? Or how long? Because, I think it's two prongs. It's the private sector that can probably get going much more quickly than the public aspect of the electric boxes and sculptures, etc. So I don't know.
My concern is that the business community, we do have to have some sort of a say in that, insofar as, you know, like we do with signage and the rest of it.
Yeah.
We can't just let whoever, whichever business, put anything out there. Whereas residential is the private sector. Right. The business community is still in the public sector.
Yeah, and I think even
though we don't own the property.
Right, and I do think the city needs to weigh in, but I would like that part to get done quickly, yeah, because they're ready to go. They don't need funding and they don't need to secure a spot. They have a spot. So really, they're just waiting for some regulations from us. So I don't want to overcomplicate, especially that aspect.
So I think that leads towards what John was saying with regards to utilizing other locales, whether it be, I think we can do two-pronged, the utility box art, a program X to move forward with, whether it's San Luis or any some other jurisdiction there, and then fashion. I know Santa Cruz was mentioned, but they probably have a mural program, or Rio Grande has a mural program, perhaps utilizing elements of that and having an ad hoc committee come forward and say, here's how we're going to fashion that specifically for Grover Beach.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, there are a number of examples. We just listed three in the staff report, but other examples exist. We would look to pick and choose and then customize something that fits where we're going, fits the council's direction. If the council was so inclined to authorize creation of this ad hoc committee, this would not be a formally chartered advisory commission. This would be a working committee that we could get off the ground very quickly and get this process moving. And part of my reason for bringing this forward was really to gauge your sense of timing. This has been a goal, one of 12 goals that are part of our list on the addresses, resources, permit category. So we've wanted to show progress as we look to close this council term, but really to gauge your sense of where this fits with other areas that we have been focused on, from park facility improvements and other infrastructure improvements as we begin 2019. If you provide direction that this is something for us to get started sooner than later, then we will adjust our priorities and adjust the resources to put some further impetus behind this and get this to you sooner than the 6 month, 9 month window that could otherwise happen.
My only concern there is not knowing. I mean, I'm fully supportive of everything that you said until you got to the point of what's going to get delayed and what resources are we going to shift priorities to from here. So I'm supportive of kind of the consensus that we have building here for the utility boxes and the other artwork, whether it be benches or murals and so forth, but and the creation of an ad hoc committee. But again, I think that needs to come forward along with what items aren't going to get accomplished that are our priorities and our resources driven items.
Yeah, and I've been fighting the urge to say this, but I will have to say this because there will be a new city council about a week from now, a week from tonight. So you guys can take my comments for what they are. I would say, actually, we have better control over the control boxes, utility boxes. Let's call it a pilot program. Let's get the private sector involved. And Barbara, this has been your idea. I'm not going to take your idea. I'm going to give you credit.
My husband started.
Well, I just didn't want to take whoever's idea was.
Yeah.
Was basically do a pilot program and get people involved and have people make it a competition. We have control. Those are in a public realm. If you want to have action now, because we do, and you were right on the money when you said public art is good, but we still have to regulate what it is, where it is, similar to signage. Mm-hmm. But I think if it sounds like there's a lot of inspiration and a lot of motivation to get something done sooner than later. And so let's pick those items that we can do quickly. Maybe that's the pilot program. Yeah. And then I think given the timing of this, and I appreciate staff bringing this forward, but the fact of the matter is we are now going into the holiday season. And when this calendar flips to 2019, the first thing the council typically does is has to put together your goals and work program. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a much more detailed discussion mm-hmm. over that, because there's going to be time and money, resources and dollars mm-hmm. Into this process. But at least with the control boxes, we can get started and figure out how to do something sooner than later. And then I'll be addressing you all as a citizen of Grover Beach.
And I also don't want to complicate it. I do think it is a little nerve-wracking when you say, oh, the things are going to fall down the list. And I would just say, you know, this is one of 12 goals, but this one has fallen down the list so many times that I, for one, will say I am in a position to say I'm ready to push it up, even mm-hmm. if it means mm-hmm. something else. Might have to go down a little bit. But I think what you're saying is if we can hand this off a little bit to an ad hoc committee, at least the guideline aspect of it could get moving. And that's what the private sector needs to take the ball and run. I don't want to be standing in the way of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that part I would like to see get done as fast as possible.
Yep. And I'm in agreement with that as well, and supportive of staff resources to be able to forward that. What I don't want to have an expectation is that this is going to supplant another critical goal like street improvements. I don't want to have that expectation, but I think I just want to make sure that that staff is supported for what they're doing and has a venue or an opportunity to work with the private sector and the artists that have the inspiration to move forward.
Yeah, and I would just say that it's been a busy year. We've got a lot of really good things done. Streets is at the top of the list and other things. I'm not going to listen to them all. So obviously we aren't able to get to all the goals. So the new council is going to have that conversation. Is this a priority or what does this fall on that list? Because I just don't see how you're going to get to that sooner than later. That's why I suggest maybe a pilot program mm-hmm. that focuses on the control. I don't want to say utility, because when I say utility, PG&E and SoCal and all the others kind of rise up, and it's really more the control traffic control boxes they were talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I was suggesting it. So we'll see what the council majority wants to do on this item.
Okay. I'm supportive of that. Do we need a motion or just direction?
I'm supportive of just starting from the public aspect of the utility boxes, but really even more than that, to me, my focus is just getting that framework done so that if the private sector mm-hmm. wants to go forward, they can go forward mm-hmm. without right. hindrance.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Debbie, you've been awfully quiet.
Yeah, I just have one question that's been going through my mind. On you've mentioned, commercial buildings where commercial owners are saying they want. Are there specific instances of people who want to go forward and they've come to the city and they don't know where to go or?
Yeah, there are actually quite a few businesses Krista has spoken to just along with the Parks and Rec Commission.
Okay.
So they just are ready to beautify.
So do we not currently have something somewhere where people can go and ask if they have a business wall that they want to paint? Do they go to the planning and building department or where do they go to for that? Is there we have no policy, so that's the issue.
We have no policy in place at the moment that I'm aware of, and I don't believe that if they wanted to paint something like that, I'm looking at the community development director shaking his head no. I'm not aware of, and I think he's confirming that we don't have any permitting requirement for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To encroach into that area does create constitutional issues. Not that you can't do it, but what I'm saying is that formulation of that policy will probably take some time. I won't go into a detail of explaining to you what the federal courts look at, but there is a test called the Central Hudson Test that deals specifically what those regulations have to do. They can't be constitutional prior restraints. They have to be a substantial governmental interest in the regulations, and they have to be only so restricting as to not restrict speech any more than is absolutely necessary. So there's an entire test that the federal courts create for that kind of regulation that does not exist for the regulation of art on public property. Mm-hmm. So I'm just suggesting that, yes, we can go there. You guys, you the council, can give us direction and staff. And the committee can take a look at that, but I'm suggesting it probably is going to take a little massaging and some time to get there.
Well, here's a question I have just based on that comment. Are we overcomplicating it by trying to make a framework for murals like these? I mean, can we just tell business owners to go forward?
It's your discretion. There are some cities that don't regulate it, as we have not up to this point in time, apparently. There are others who do regulate it or attempt to regulate it to some degree. It's really a policy call on your part. If you do attempt to regulate it, then our job as staff and I as your attorney is to walk you through that process and to develop a constitutionally sufficient regulation that will allow you to go as far as you can go or as far as you desire to go, but that's purely a policy call on your part.
Okay. And what do people think?
So, good.
Go ahead. No.
From that perspective, my first thought as you were saying was, okay, we don't have a process to do it, but we also don't have a prohibition against it. So if someone actually wanted to come forward, and I realize I'm about to get into hypotheticals, but if we wanted to, as our sign ordinance moves forward, say we have particular direction, it can't be advertising, so it doesn't say Splash Cafe anywhere, so that's not advertising. So people come to understand it, but there's and then we have minimal other restrictions, like it can't be a scrolling sign or changes. It's got to be static, a static artwork. So is the more appropriate location for that guidelines or what can be done in our sign ordinance, which then gives the art community greater latitude to do or develop something of that with very minimal city involvement?
Actually, that's a very astute observation, as many agencies do put regulations related to private art on private property in their sign ordinances. Mm-hmm. Because for the most part, a sign is very similar to art. Yeah. And we regulate that in our sign ordinance. You can regulate that also in your sign ordinance. But again, as we will have the discussion in our sign ordinance as it comes forward or comes back to you, there are constitutional regulations mm-hmm. and tests that you have to meet, both in the regulation of signs as to the regulation of private art on private property. But it is contained in sign ordinances of many agencies.
So maybe it's best to just include that part with the sign ordinance?
And I'd be supportive of that with the understanding / discussion that trying to, in some respects, minimize the city's involvement in the regulation of that beyond what the city attorney mentioned as constitutionally required elements.
So we are overly complicating this.
Yeah.
You got multiple cities who do this, and I think many of you have been. I'm going to keep pointing to City of Slow. I know not everyone wants to be a City of Slow. I get it. But if you talk to that community, you'll see there isn't a lot of obnoxious things, but there's some good art. Mm-hmm. So for the life of me, I still, again, I'm going to say this is my last meeting. Why can't we take guidelines that someone's already done, pick the what's been successful and adopt it and move forward? Because the one thing we don't want to do is the community, I believe, if someone goes out and starts doing things like that, make sure that they have everyone's phone numbers. I'm not saying we control it. I'm just saying we set the framework. Do we want to promote a beach community? Do we want to be promoting a rebel community? I mean, there's a vision. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, you know, understand. So when people talk about a sculpture at the corner of Grand and Highway 1 near the train station, someone said, well, how about a dolphin with monarchs? You know, butterflies. I don't know. But, I mean, I think we need to give some framework. And mm-hmm. I think you can do that relatively quickly as opposed to, having all this debate and discussion.
Right. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with that more. I hate reinventing the wheel. And, I mean, the reason I'm hammering on this is because I think Krista and I started talking about this months ago. She was approaching me just as an artist and a person. and she had bunches of businesses interested in doing this. And I kind of said, whoa, like, let's figure it out in a uniform way. And I just don't want to be the one. Now she is trying to do it in the proper way, and we're holding the whole thing back because of this, you know. And I will say, something has happened in the old folklore of Grover Beach, and you hear stories, and who knows, but there was a business that on Grand Avenue that did want to put in a mural and did approach the city, and they were told no. And who knows why or what, but so that's why I think we do need the framework, so people get consistent answers.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would maybe the next step is staff come back and, you know, bring something from pick three cities or three communities give some education. So, you know, so I guess Barbara, maybe kind of along the lines of the workshop, just
yeah,
to come and say, here's what other communities have done successfully.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd still say the control boxes are a pilot project waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. Hey.
And if the council is amenable to us reaching out to a stakeholders group, maybe it's not called ad hoc committee at this point, but a stakeholders group to help us gather the information and bring it back to the council, that could be a...
Is that called the Park Recreation and Beautification Committee?
That could be another avenue.
Because mm-hmm. if you're going to do a stakeholders group, how are you going to just... Who's going to be it? How are you going to decide it? Are they going to be... is it ad hoc? Are they, you know, I mean, so just... I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to help move this along. Anyway.
It'll be diverse.
Perfect.
But, yeah. But how do you select them? Does the council mm-hmm. select them? What's the process? What's the criteria? So.
Well, I think whatever is they come up with comes back to us.
Well, yeah. We've got... one commission just on art, and then we've got the Parks and Rec Committee in general, and then we've got the council. Everybody has to be on the same page. And that's going to take some time of sitting down and working together.
All right. What's the pleasure of the council.
I like the idea of just some sort of committee that is not all of us, you know, taking up time, coming up with 2 to 3 options or coming up with good options based on other local ordinances.
Right.
And then we review and hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would kind of add a kind of friendly direction with the initial focus being the city-owned utility boxes, so that we do have a something that the communities sees as an implementable goal.
As a first
goal,
step. That'd first be step. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And it would be wonderful if we could have it, if everyone agrees that it would be an appropriate choice for the children to do, the school children to do. And school children, I'm talking, you know, up maybe fourth, fifth grade, or fifth, sixth grade, and up to the junior highs and the high school, with supervision from their art teachers and the commission that we would put together. And it would be really wonderful if we could get that settled up so that we could get it done before school's over and children.
So maybe the artists or the community can help establish, do you want coastal scenes, natural scenes? I mean, maybe you pick a few of those. So I'm just trying to figure out how do you loosely give some direction if you're going to do this, as opposed to just going out and painting a box purple or black and red. You know, I mean, what are we trying? What's the image we're trying to build for this community? We started that when we on the West End, the Grand, when we did the sidewalks and whatnot. So I just think we need to talk to the artists and some folks in the community. What's the image that we want to portray in the city of Grover Beach? So
working with the San Luis, when they first started their project on that, Bill talked with them at some length, and we have a sheet of paper that shows how the artist would lay out the drawing to present to the commission and so on. And we pick a theme, and whoever in this school recommended by the art teachers would go ahead and do their design, submit it to the commission. Commission would pick however many we're going to do, the best ones or that they think are the most appropriate, and the council approve it.
And
should not take months to work through.
To establish those general themes, like you were talking about with coastal, just the general, what do you think of Grover Beach? That may even lend itself to an online survey where we could really get, what do you think of?
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, beach scenes, ocean life, outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm. Local flora, fauna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I like the idea of an online poll or something of that nature, and say, please provide your suggestions, and the top four, top five will be brought forward as part of the whether it's an ad hoc or whether it's the steering committee, for lack of a better term, the discussion committees. Again, trying to figure out how to move forward implementation as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're all interested in public art. How's that? We all support public art. That's one. Are we interested in the pilot program dealing with the control boxes?
Yes.
Maybe staff can work with Park and Rec and the artists community to establish, let's say, and maybe even a survey to establish, let's say, 3 to 5 themes that then going forward develop the program and make it a competition. You have to figure out then how you review those. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. And then I think maybe the other part is to also start the discussion about an actual framework for how we're going to do our public art going forward in public spaces, the public realm, and I would say even in commercial and industrial areas as well. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think we're good. Kind of sort of. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's impressive.
Thank you.
I was going to have to go warm my coffee up. Thanks, everyone. We know this is, people are passionate about this, and, you know, certainly we are as well, and we want to make sure that what we're doing is top quality and reflects well in the community. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I think staff can work with the council and decide when to bring back information and workshop and implementation and all those things. Okay? All right. Let's move on. Let's council committee reports. Anyone's got any council committee reports tonight?
I had one meeting.
Okay.
I had a meeting of the Homeless Services Oversight Committee. We talked a lot just about the grants coming down from Sacramento and just kind of the framework for how those grants will be allotted. And some of the, it felt a little strange to me to be establishing the parameters for the grant and at the same time being very open about the fact that we may in South County pursue the grant, but they said, no, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So because we were all at the table, anyone in the county may be pursuing it, but they are going to look at factors like regional cooperation in the project. Will this make a long-term dent, especially in chronic homelessness? And is it sustainable after this grant? So those will be the types of things they'll be looking at in establishing who will get that money. And then the other thing in a more immediate realm is that tomorrow the Board of Supervisors will be talking about taking a stab at the inclusionary housing ordinance again and trying to modify that. And I was told this the last time, but I'm being told again that there is cooperation from the home builders and from the building community and an ad hoc or small committee of the Board of Supervisors as far as reworking the inclusionary housing ordinance to be more effective and to hopefully bring in $2 to $4 million a year, as opposed to, I think now it brings in a couple hundred thousand or 300,000. So the ideas are in the new plan are instead of now it starts at 900 square feet, starting at homes that are 1800 square feet to have a fee, because it doesn't really seem fair to have a fee on such small homes. Those are the affordable homes.
Yeah.
So 1,800 square feet and above. The key aspect is including it on homes that are not just homes in developments, because that's where a lot of the revenue it right now doesn't apply to homes that aren't in a subdivision. So you have your huge mansions out on a acreage, and none of those are paying anything. Those 5,000 square foot homes are not paying into the inclusionary budget. So that really needs to be reworked and will make a huge difference. One aspect that the subcommittee is pushing for, but they are a little apprehensive, that is just saying that at least in the first years until this gets up and running, that the county pledge to make up the difference to get to $2 million so that it can start. And so that's one of the prongs that they will be advocating for, but they're not sure about if they'll be able to get that. So we'll see. It's being addressed tomorrow in the afternoon session of the Board of Supervisors. I plan to go and speak just as a member of HSOC and just to kind of support the plan as it's been brought forward. So.
And who's on the subcommittee?
I think Adam Hill, Lynn Compton, I'm not sure if it's Lynn Compton, but it's two supervisors, and then it's like somebody from the Home Builders Association. Okay. Jerry LaRue is kind of the representative from HSOC and that aspect. So it's a conglomeration of people that have come up with this plan that I'm being told is well supported. But you never know till the votes.
Well, inclusionary housing has a long history. That's why I'm glad to hear someone from the Home Builders Association and even from the realtors, because, you know, inclusionary housing without a density bonus is a is a burden on, it's a project killer, is what the history has shown. So I'll be very interested to see what they come up with. Mm-hmm. So, anyone else?
Just had one Zone 3 comment, as we did have a special meeting, thanks to Marion. not thanks to her, but there's one item. There was a lengthy discussion about cloud seeding in a program, and it was ultimately decided to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to pursue a cloud seeding program. It kind of goes along the lines of the fact that Lopez is currently at just over 40% full, still under the 20,000 acre feet threshold, even after that little bit of rain that we had and the additional rains coming forward. May push the reservoir over the 20,000 acre feet, but cloud seeding, while not an imminently available program, might be available as either at the very end of this season or most more likely at the beginning of next season, pending board approval.
Okay. Anyone else? I guess we're good. How about council communications?
Well, I wanted to remind everyone that Saturday is going to be the beachfront holiday stroll on the west end of Grand mm-hmm. for the businesses that weren't passed by in the parade or were passed by, depending how you want to use that phrase. Mm-hmm. And that's 3 to 4:30. So I just wanted to make, I'm sure that the city manager is going to come to us on that too. But I also wanted to ask for an update in public comment last meeting. We had folks coming forward from the Oak Park area with very real concerns about traffic there. One of the statements made, though, was that there had been a fatality, and that wasn't something I had heard reported on. So I'm just wondering if we could have an update on what happened with the individual that was hit.
And I think that's a really good point, Debbie. I think mm-hmm. there's a mm-hmm. we have consensus for that report.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
There's with the impending rains starting either late tonight or sometime tomorrow, the warming shelter will be open, is scheduled to be open both December 4th and 5th for that. And then the Giving Tuesday event at Finn's last week for the Five Cities Homeless Coalition did raise approximately $18,000 in support of that organization. So.
Okay. If there's no one else with communications, I'm going to hold mine and leave something for the city manager to cover. City manager, what do you got?
Sure. Thank you, Council. So first, with the Council's direction about the Brighton pedestrian issue that was raised at the last Council meeting, I did want to share with the Council and the public that there was a pedestrian accident that took place on November 11th. It was not a fatality, as was contended during public comments during the council meeting. A pedestrian did cross from east of Oak Park to west of Oak Park and was hit in the number one southbound lane. It was 7:10 at night, so it was dark. The pedestrian was crossing at an unauthorized or non-crosswalked intersection. He was taken to the hospital but was released the next day. So, again, there was not a fatality as was contended. That being said, there are pedestrian and traffic safety issues the council identified and provided direction to us to look into further. We are doing this with the help of Chief Peters and Public Works Director Ray. We do need to update our speed survey on North Oak Park, as the last one was before the repaving in 2016. So we are working on doing that as we speak, and we'll bring information back to the council in early 2019 to really look at the speed, to look at the information, to look at what we can do to improve traffic safety, pedestrian, vehicular safety on a major north-south arterial into the city.
So I would hope you'd come back, not just with the surveys, because I'm sure the speeds have gone up, because now we have a smooth road, and identify ways to slow traffic down. I think that would be helpful.
Agreed.
That will be part of that. I'm going back to council early 2019. Speaking of Oak Park, a little further down south, I am pleased to mention that we've completed the initial phase of the Oak Park Boulevard median project from Grand to Farrell. So if you drive down Oak Park, you'll see medians with recycled mulch from the Mentone Park site at 14th and Mentone, and then some limited drought-resistant plantings there in the medians as well. So there's more work to do, but I want to credit Greg and his team with the California Conservation Corps for doing a great job and improving the look and feel of those medians. They look a whole lot better than they did beforehand. To Councilmember Peterson's point earlier regarding the holiday events, we're pleased to have two holiday events coming forward this weekend. First is the tree lighting coming up on Friday evening, 5:30 to 7:30 at Ramona Garden Park. It should be a great event. Cookies, cocoa, Santa, tree lighting, all that good stuff. And then on Saturday, we are welcoming the inaugural beachfront holiday stroll from 3 to 4:30 on West Grand Avenue from 4th Street to 2nd Street. Folks are encouraged to stop at Spoon Trade to get a passport and then go around to over 10 different participating businesses to get their passport stamped, and then we have raffle prizes at the end at the Station Grill at 4:30. We'll have activities, we'll have some games, we'll have a strolling Santa, I believe, and just a nice opportunity to bring the holiday spirit into that end of West Grand Avenue.
And we'll have some traffic control at that time.
We will work on traffic control and also have some pedestrian crossing control there at 3rd and West Grand Avenue.
Okay.
And then lastly, I wanted to acknowledge that on Friday at 11:30, we have an important event coming forward. We have the launch of our broadband fiber network, 11:30 over at the Grover Tech Center on Front Street at 359 Front Street. This is the announcement of our public-private partnership with Digital West to unveil the new fiber network and really welcome the fiber future in Grover Beach. Big event for us. We're looking forward to really welcoming this new network and the business development opportunities it represents for our community going forward.
Greg, thank you, City Manager. City Attorney, do you have anything?
Nothing at this time.
Okay, so I think we don't have any, didn't have a closed session, or we did that earlier and reported out, so at this point we are adjourned.
Okay.